Time is always rushing by. Every day comes and goes, and one day it will be the last. The last day, the last hour. We all know that the time of grace had a beginning. It will have an end. There was in the time of grace the first hour, the first day, the first week, and so on. And now time is moving back. And we will reach the last year, the last month, the last week, the last day, the last hour, and then the last moment, which will be the moment when we will have completed our course, to then behold the face of the Lord. And when we think that it could be any moment, for no one knows when the last day or the last week and which could be the last year. One thing we know, time is running out and the coming of the Lord is getting closer and closer. And so we want to do everything we can to let that call go out to the ends of the earth. We have had many years in which we have let the call go out in this country, in Europe, and then God has opened more doors, and this is still happening as we see. A little bit arduously, but nevertheless, being aware that the time will not last much longer. We do not need to spare ourselves, but can go out to bring this glorious message. We have indeed a full gospel that includes all that God has promised. No trite thing, no empty straw, but full wheat in the ear. You all know, Brother Branham kept mentioning these three stages. And the last one is the gathering of the whole life that is gathered through the stalk and through the ear and above as wheat, as it was put in the ground. We are living in the time when these things are coming to their conclusion and the harvest is ripe and will be gathered in. And at one point, Brother Branham actually said that God will bring in the harvest and will have the combine, that's how he calls it, to do all that. And we cannot predict in detail how it will happen. One thing we do know, it will happen because God has said so. And we have not put our trust in ourselves for a long time, but in the Lord and in His grace. And that's what everybody did. That's what Abraham did. That's what Isaac did. That's what Jacob did. That's what all the men of God did. They put their trust in God. And we see with Abraham, when Sarah suddenly lost her trust in God, she said to him, "Let us have a child with Hagar, to thus fulfill the promise." And what happened? It was a thing that did not bring blessing, because it was outside the promise of God. God made promises, and He watches over His word to fulfill those promises. anything done in the kingdom of God that is outside the promises of God will not be a blessing, but a curse. And therefore, we want to recognize the will of God and ask Him for grace to be able to do this will of God. You all know, as far as we can see, we have been deeply introduced to the Holy Scriptures through the revelation of the Word. Nothing has been hidden from us, but God has promised to bring all things to a conclusion in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, and to reveal that which was to be revealed. And we live in those days, and to the completed testimony of the Holy Scriptures and what God has revealed, nothing more will be added. We have enough to do to work through that, to be obedient, and to see to it that God comes into His own in what has been communicated and revealed to us by grace. I do not want to fail in any case to express my gratitude to God and to you, especially to those who take so much trouble. And then the question arises, why do people travel? Why do we come to the services? Surely it is not to hear a sermon preached by a man about God, but to hear God speak directly. We are not here to talk about God. That's what everyone does. We are here to let God speak to us. We are here to let Him speak to us through His Word and through His Spirit. And as we listened to Brother Branham's testimony last night, we are quite ashamed to realize that we have been believers for many years and have so few experiences with God. I am not talking about the experiences that everyone can have themselves, but about the direct experience of God, of what is well-founded and becomes a blessing for others. We heard it of Abraham. God spoke to him, and he spoke with God. And again the Lord spoke, and he again answered. There are people who have had fellowship with God, and a longing arises in us to be classified in these ranks, people who have a connection to God, to whom He can speak, to whom He can entrust His Word, to whom He can give His Spirit, and whom He can bless and make a blessing. If we occasionally mention certain grievances from the past, it is only to clarify and establish that God has a way. And when we leave this divine way, then everything goes wrong. And sometimes it was really like that in Brother Branham's time. People became very angry. And they came to Brother Branham and said, just stop it and leave the women alone. Yes, he said, if they had understood what God wanted to say to them, I could bring something else. But they haven't understood yet. It's not an easy thing. Do you think it was easy for Paul when he had to give the commandment of the Lord that the women should be silent in the church? Do you think that made him popular? No, never. But I will tell you this. When the women are silent, all is quiet. All is quiet. Yeah. And this divine rest, we need it so badly. So badly. Don't think that God gave a single commandment without having a reason for it. And we are not dealing here with Paul, a tent maker, but with Paul, a man of God, who acted on a divine commission. And he says to the Galatians, if I seek to please men, then I'm not a servant of God. It is becoming more and more difficult because we live in a time when everyone is seeking and defending their rights. Therefore, it is becoming more and more difficult for God to come into His own with all of us. Here, in Galatians 1, Paul writes in verse 10, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. That's a thing. We cannot please God and please men at the same time. And when we come together as God's people, then it is to be taught by God, to have His word applied, and to submit to divine correction. Here, in Galatians, because now it was read of Abraham, it says in Galatians 3, I just want to read it now from verse 6, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, when you read the Old Testament, you can't quite see the gospel. The promise, yes. But the promise of salvation, the gospel, you know, attached to every promise of God was salvation. And if only promise is written in the Old Testament, then from the perspective of the New Testament, the salvation of God was connected to this promise in the Old Testament. What was it when God promised Abraham, after 400 years, I will bring your descendants out of the foreign land? The promise of salvation was given to them, and they were led out, and God blessed them and was with them. Here is the term promise of salvation, and the Scripture foreseeing preached before the gospel unto Abraham. Not just promises of God, but promises of salvation, promises of God in which the salvation of God is promised and which can be realized in them who believe. And that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was the promised one who came, and in Him all the promises of God are yes and amen through Jesus Christ our Lord, through us. When we have grasped that in faith, not just promises, but divine promises that had the salvation of God embedded in them, And we who have received those salvation promises of God, we have experienced the salvation and grace and redemption of our God in Jesus Christ our Lord. And we don't let anybody rob us of that, because God has given it to us, and He will preserve it for us. Then we read here in verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. These are promises of salvation, divine things promised to us and given to us in Christ by grace, because that's how we read it here, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. So, already in the promises God made to Abraham, salvation, grace, forgiveness, it was already a shadow to the New Testament, to the covenant God would make with us. We have heard it. Abraham offered sacrifices, and darkness set in. What happened when Christ was crucified? The sun lost its light. Darkness set in. Rocks rent. An earthquake happened. But the covenant of God was made with mankind. And after that darkness, a bright, eternal morning dawned for all who have believed in Jesus Christ. We already have the gospel in all these things. We have grace. We have salvation. All this has already been contained. What had happened? God had set a definite time for everything, and He did not reveal that time to them, but only the thing, not the time, only the thing itself. And so, today, we may look back and see in what a wonderful way God has fulfilled everything. Last night, I was touched in my heart when the Lord followed up on what Brother Branham had promised him and asked him, "You have kept your promise, haven't you?" And he said, "Yes." And then the answer came, "I am the maker of heaven and earth. I keep what I have promised, and I will never leave you nor forsake you." What was it? Oh, the faithfulness of God. No man can describe it. Paul puts it this way, "Even if we were to be unfaithful, He still remains faithful, because He cannot deny Himself." This is our God, in whom we believe, who knew what He was doing before He began to do anything. In eternity, He has purposed this counsel of salvation. And we see it even outwardly, right in this generation. We see God's word being fulfilled in the earthly people of Israel in such a wonderful way. And there is no enemy power on earth, no United Nations resolution, nothing at all. God mocks them all because He is with His people, and He speaks through the prophet Isaiah. They may make a resolution, I will spoil it. And so it is to this day. If you know, and for instance hear, that it is spoken of Gaza or of the Golan Heights and so forth, and then you open the Bible, as I said in Zurich on Sunday, and then you read the word Gaza a few times, and the word Golan a few times, and you realize that it belongs to the territory that God promised the people of Israel. And God said to Joshua, wherever you tread with your feet, the land I have given to you and your descendants forever. And when these descendants come back to claim this land that has been given forever, then let us bless them in the name of the Lord and say, God be with you, and we thank Him together with you that it has been given back to you by grace. You can read it yourself. I have seen some are believers here. Sometimes the look is a little unbelieving, but that doesn't matter at all. I will just give you the scriptures very quickly so that you can note them down. First of all, I would like to read from Joshua 10. Joshua 10 from verse 8. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly. Just up to here. You can read it. They used the sword. They used a natural sword to take possession of the natural land, to drive out or to destroy the enemies. We, as the Church of the Lord, must use the sword of the Spirit, namely God's Word, to destroy the enemy power. And Paul says, I did not beat the air, but very consciously I destroyed the stronghold of Satan. What is it? We too will not beat the air, but with a sword of the Spirit, we will have to strike at the enemy. With a fist we beat into the air, and then we have done no harm to it. But if we have been given the sword of the Spirit, then we should use it by the grace and power of our God. The word Gaza you read in Joshua chapter 10 from verse 40 to the end, to verse 42. Joshua 10, from 40 to 42. You read it for the second time in Joshua 11, from verse 21 to verse 23. And you read it for the third time in Joshua 13, namely in verse 3. And when the enemies of Israel say that the Gaza Strip, as they now call it, should be returned, that is empty talk from God. This area belongs to the natural people of God, and woe to them if they give a foot's width away from it. Transferred to us as the Church of the Lord, we should be aware that God has restored step by step, and that He leads His Church, and that we cannot give away anything of what has become dear and precious to us, what we have handled with our hands, what our eyes have seen of the Word of Life. This we proclaim to you. And we are not prepared to give away even the smallest part of this restoration of the world again. There are enemies who are very close, and they attack the very areas they think are not rightfully ours. But it is precisely in this that we are to be encouraged all the more to know that if the enemy expresses such great interest, then there must be something to it. For if he were asleep or rocking the cradle to and fro, then everything would be different. But it seems that the bride of the Lamb is seen as the main enemy. And just as the people of Israel are outwardly the arch enemy after all, but the people themselves are not the enemy, but they are the blessed of the Lord. But all those who are around them, these have become their enemies. But God has abolished the enmity through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we must understand that whoever has accepted redemption and reconciliation, whoever has received forgiveness himself, has forgiveness for all. Peter asked at that time, "How often must I forgive? Is 7 times enough?" And the Lord said, 70 times 7 times. And then we quickly get to 490 times. What is it? He who has forgiveness cannot help but forgive. And I think I mentioned it in prayer today from 1 Corinthians 13. Love holds no grudges at all. It does not exist at all. On the one hand, you can bear the deepest sorrow for it. And on the other hand, it doesn't exist at all. Why not? Because the enemy did it, and the things of the enemy pass away. We are only interested in what God is doing. And I don't want to hold on to the things that the enemy has done. I want to hold on to what God has done. And we may say, God has done great things. He has redeemed our souls from destruction and has crowned us with mercy and loving kindness. That is not just a word that has been said. It is a divine fact. And let us hold fast to it with all our hearts and give glory to our God in faith. May we be surrounded by enemies, it doesn't matter. But we have seen the promise of God realized in Christ. In Him it became reality. Salvation has been spoken of for 4,000 years. In Christ, salvation has appeared. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. Where is it written? Titus chapter 2. 2:12. Thank you very much. So let me read it out, if I can find it fast enough, so that you know that in Christ, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. What was it? The prophets prophesied of the grace of God. They prophesied of the Messiah. They prophesied of salvation. But now it says, for the grace of God appeared. The salvation of God appeared. The Lord Himself appeared, as written in the prophet Isaiah. The Lord Himself, He will come and save you. Have you read it? Should be even in chapter 40. And when this word found its fulfillment, the people who believed it became glad in their hearts. Let me just see. Yes, it would have to be in chapter 40, maybe from verse 11 or from verse 10. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. Who of you finds that scripture? He himself will come and will save you. Maybe it's in chapter 35. Let me just read Isaiah chapter 35, verse 3. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. This is the word of God. He himself comes and will save you. And then all these things will happen. The deaf will hear. The dumb will speak. What a grace! Not in another, in himself, our Lord and King, the salvation of our God has appeared. And the grace of God that brings salvation to all men. Whoever wants to be saved today can still be saved. We do not know for how much longer. Sometimes it is said that salvation depends on this or that, sometimes even on this or that church. Salvation can only be in the saving God. And that is why we come to him, because he has come to us. And we have accepted salvation and grace in Jesus Christ, our Lord. How wonderful that it is written here, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come. That is a divine comfort. Behold, there is your God. And we know that in Jesus Christ, God himself has appeared. But only those whose eyes are opened by God see this. He himself will come and save you. Salvation does not come from a man. It comes from God. It came to Israel, to the Jews, and went on to the nations. And that is why it is written that salvation comes from the Jews, because God revealed himself there, and this salvation of God that was revealed there went on from the Jews to the Gentiles. And the Holy Scripture says in the book of Acts, in chapter 13, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad, and as many of them as were ordained to eternal life believed. These promises of salvation of God, not just promises, every promise of God is connected with the grace of God, with the salvation of God, with the blessing of God, connected with all that God has to give. And when we have received these promises of salvation of our God, then we can sing with the hymn writer, "Full salvation teaches our Bible." Hallelujah. Full salvation teaches our Bible. Our God does not do a piece work. Our God does a perfect work. And on the cross of Calvary, our Lord cried out, "It is finished." And the veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom. That was to show that now the way is open, that a man who wants to meet God can meet Him. But what is the way there? Not around the cross, but through the cross. The veil in the temple was not torn when the Lord did signs and wonders. It did not rend when He calmed the storm. It was not rent when He fed thousands. The veil in the temple was torn when the salvation of God was revealed in Christ on the cross of Calvary for you and for me. And we believe that with all our heart. We accept that. And Paul, who wrote the letter to the Hebrews, he says, "Let us now enter with joy into the heavenly sanctuary." And he says, "This is the new living way that He has opened for us through the veil that is through His flesh." Oh, how wonderfully these men of God spoke through the Holy Spirit and carried on what had been revealed by God. The prophets in the Old Testament, if we judge earthly, they were at a little disadvantage, but only temporally, for they prophesied of the grace without having seen it revealed. Then the apostles in the New Testament, and in general we as believers of the New Covenant, we see this grace of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Why is it written, "The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ"? What was it? The grace of God, the acquittal, the forgiveness, the redemption, salvation, all in Jesus Christ our Lord, for you and for me. Let us understand it today. The promises of God are not just promises of a general kind. They are promises of salvation, promises in which divine salvation, divine grace, divine blessings are contained for you and for me. And if we receive these promises by faith in Jesus Christ, then the full blessing of Jesus Christ will be given to us by grace. Behold, your God, He will come and save you. Then the deaf will hear, the dumb will speak, the lame will leap. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we desire with all our hearts a complete restoration of this gospel of God, in whom all the promises of salvation find their realization after spirit, soul, and body, namely, who forgiveth all thy sins and healeth all thy diseases. and who redeems your life from destruction and crowns you with mercy and loving kindness. We cannot but take the sword of the Spirit and proclaim full salvation in Jesus Christ our Lord. He himself will then watch over his word and will fulfill it by grace. Are you thankful today? Are you glad that God's promises are not empty, but that God's salvation and God's grace and God's blessing and all that God had to give is in these promises of God's salvation for you and for me? It was the promise that Jesus Christ would come, and he came. In him, every word that was spoken concerning him was fulfilled. So also in us, all the promises of God must find their fulfillment, for they are yes and amen through Jesus Christ our Lord, and that to the glory of our God. As in the natural, the people of Israel took the land and set their foot upon it, so let us also take the land of God and set our feet of faith upon it, and God will be with us and bless us all from the riches of his grace. To him be the glory. Amen. Let us stand and pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you with all my heart for all the promises, for the grace, for all that you have given us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Eternal life and everything that belongs to it, for our entire salvation and blessedness, we have received in you. I thank you that it is a gift from God that we cannot work for or earn, but have received in faith. I thank you for all my brothers, for all my sisters, for all those who shun no distance, no trouble, and take everything upon them to come under the sound of your word. Beloved Lord, in their hearts is a desire and a longing that you will satisfy. Hallelujah. For your promises have salvation, grace, and blessing in them, and are in you, our Lord and Savior, yes and amen, and find their fulfillment through us. Lord, let me receive in faith all these promises, and I shall receive salvation, grace, and blessing. And the same I ask for all, and especially for those who have lifted up their hands. Beloved Lord, may your gospel again become the power of God, that sinners may be saved, the sick healed, the bound set free, and that you may reveal yourself in the same way as at the beginning. Lord, I ask you to continue to guide us until we see the completion and are taken up to you. As we heard this weekend, you have begun, you will finish. Hallelujah. To your name. We pray for all brothers, for all sisters, wherever there's enmity, wherever there's hatred, you know the condition. O beloved Lord, intervene, turn things around, bring them to their senses, to repentance, so that we all come to you and speak not to each other but to you, and receive your answer and your blessing, your grace and your salvation. Then the blind shall see, the lame shall walk, the dumb shall speak, and all shall rejoice in thy salvation. We thank you and give you the glory. In Jesus' name, Amen.